Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Greetings to you from the Christians who worship at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. How's your holiday season going? Have you lost the pounds that you gained on Thanksgiving Day? Have you recovered from all the football? Well, how about a more important question? Have you thanked God for all of the wonderful blessings that He's so richly bestowed upon us? The Scriptures say that all good things come from above. I find, don't you, that holiday times usually include more interaction with family than most other times. That brings to mind a lesson that I'd like us to consider together. It's a continuation of a previous study concerning man as a husband and woman as a wife. Thus far, we've noted from the Bible that a man must assume the headship of that marital relationship. He must provide for his wife, protect her, continue courting her, honor and be considerate of her, value and appreciate her, and finally, be sweet and tender to the one that he's chosen to spend a lifetime with. We followed that information with a focus on the responsibility of the wife. The first responsibility of the wife is to honor and give respect to her husband. We noted several points in that regard at the close of our last lesson. These thoughts lead us to begin our study today with a second responsibility of a wife to the marital relationship. That is, to submit to and to obey her husband. Carefully study with me as we read Ephesians the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 23 and reading through the end of that chapter. There the Apostle Paul wrote, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." This submission to a husband that the Bible teaches us is a principle that dates clear back to the beginning of time. It predates sin and goes back to creation. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 11 beginning and reading through verse 13, the Bible says, "Let the woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve." If a wife is in submission to Christ, she'll be in submission to her husband. We know that from a study of Romans the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 16 and reading through verse 18. The submission of a wife grows out of the submission of that wife to Christ. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote in that passage of Romans 6, verse 16 through 18. "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." Paul is clear in Ephesians 5, verse 23 through 33, that it is no more seemly for the church to assume headship over Christ than for a wife to assume headship over her husband. The devil creates many little cute cliches in our culture that sometimes we don't realize the seriousness of. Have you ever heard someone say, my wife runs things in our family and I bring home the bacon? Or perhaps you've heard someone say, the wife wears the pants in this family. Well, those might sound cute, but those are the very opposite of the relationship that God wants in the family concerning a wife to her husband. Concerning this subjection that we're talking about, let's be clear about one thing. Subjection does not mean inferiority. Children in the Bible are shown to be in subjection to their parents, but they're not inferior. Look at the value that's given to man by God, but yet man is subjection to God. In many ways, the wife is superior to man, to husbands. Her beauty, her skills, her durability, her individual happiness is inseparably attached to the submission that we're studying today. When we lose our life in Christ, we find it. The same principle applies in marriage. Augustine once wrote, "An obedient wife rules her husband." The more lovingly submissive that a wife is, the more the husband will be loving and understanding and tender and considerate in the marriage relationship. Rebellion against God's orders produces a husband that neither wife nor God can be proud of. Failure to submit produces either a tyrant or a passive non-entity. There was a little thing that I read one time, I think it was written by Francis Quarles. "Ill thrives the hapless family that shows a cock that's silent and a hen that crows. I know not which live more unnatural lives, obeying husbands or commanding wives." Subjection does not mean that a wife cannot share in decision making or in the discipline of her children. There should be enough love and communication in a family that is designed and implemented by God that intelligent discussion can take place on all issues. If mutual decision, however, cannot be reached, the wife is to respect the wishes of her husband. Whether that's talking about the wife working outside the home, whether it's talking about where the family lives, when the final decision cannot be agreed upon, it is the responsibility of the wife to submit to the husband's decision. Subjection is limited, of course, to not conflicting with service to God. When we study 1 Corinthians 7, the 13th, 14th, and 15th verses, or Acts 5 and verse 29, or Matthew 22, verse 37 through 39, we see that the order is God first, man second. So any time that a man demands submission from his wife that conflicts with what God demands from a wife, the wife is obligated to be faithful and obedient to God and not to her husband. The same would hold true with regard to any relationship or any person upon the face of the earth. Matthew 6 and verse 33 tells us the pecking order says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Well, a third instruction of God to women as wives is to desire motherhood and bear children. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 15, the Bible reads, "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing." Again, in 1 Timothy 5, verse 14, "I will therefore that younger women marry, bear children, and guide the house." That's in a section of Scripture that's talking about what widows should do and how widows should be cared for. In Psalms 128 and verse 3, the Bible reads, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy house." The worthy woman that we talk about so often, that description is found in the 31st chapter of Proverbs, she had children. Again, desire motherhood and bear children. Rachel proclaimed in Genesis 30 and verse 1, "Give me children, or else I die." Remember how sincerely Hannah prayed for a son in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1? It makes one wonder, how can a career take precedent over motherhood? Well, a fourth instruction that the Bible gives to wives is to be domestically oriented. According to Titus 2 and verse 5, aged women are to teach younger women, be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. How tragic it would be to change the talent of a Michelangelo to a window washer. Well, likewise, God has assigned a role, a talent to the woman. Keepers at home is that role. Keepers at home is that talent. She must fulfill the same. Sarah in Genesis 18 verses 1 through 8 and Rebecca in Genesis 27 and verse 14 were both shown to be domestically oriented. Jesus in Matthew 24 and verse 41 speaks of two women that were grinding at the mill. He also speaks, as recorded in Luke 15 and verse 8, of a woman sweeping the house. The worthy woman of Proverbs 31 showed to be domestically oriented in many ways. In verse 14, she was a shopper. In verse 15, she looketh well to the ways of her household. That's verse 27. In verse 15, she was a cook. In verse 22 and 24 and 19, she was a seamstress. In verse 16, she was a gardener. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul, in writing to his young friend Timothy, said, "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give not occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." I wonder if you believe that those passages sound like the housewife is trapped or a boring job or unfulfilling. I would say hardly to that. Feminists say that being a housewife doesn't let a woman be the kind of have the kind of success that she can have. Well, the Bible says something different, doesn't it? Take pride in your work, ladies. Take pride in your position that God has given you. Take pride in the role that is so very important. Keep the home tidy. Keep it clean and orderly and beautiful. When you look at the soap suds, see the rainbow, not the dirty dishes. Well, a fifth instruction that God gives to women as wives is to live within your income. The worthy woman illustrates well industrious frugality. In Proverbs 31, verse 13 through 16, that same chapter, verse 19, 22, and 27, teaches that lesson. If the husband is worse than an infidel when he doesn't provide for the family, and that's what we read in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, then I ask, what about a wife who takes that provision and squanders it, that wastes what's provided? Here's some good ideas for the wife. Don't expect a husband to begin a marriage by providing as well as a dad did after many years of working. Don't overextend on credit. I'll tell you, it gets easier and easier, doesn't it, to sign up and get credit that just simply exceeds our abilities to pay back. I think it's seldom that a day goes by where in the mail my wife and I are not offered some new charge account. We need to learn how to be content as we're getting ourselves into a financial position to get those things that we desire and that we want. I read one time this little saying that I thought was cute. It says, the modern American is a person who drives a bank-financed car over bond-financed highways on credit card gas to open a charge account at the department store so he can fill his savings and loan-financed home with installment-purchased furniture. Someone said, all of our clothes are filled with electricity because they're charged. A sixth instruction to a woman as a wife is to take pride in yourself and to keep yourself physically attractive. Be a Rachel of Genesis 29 and verse 17. The Bible there says, Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Or be a Rebekah of Genesis 26 and verse 7. The Bible says, she is beautiful to behold. Look at how God describes His beloved Jerusalem. Turn with me in your Bible to a passage found in Ezekiel, the 16th chapter. Remember now, this is a definition of God, written by God, about Jerusalem, who He beloved as a wife. Ezekiel 16, beginning in verse 8. When I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. Then I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood, and I anointed you with oil. I clothed you in embroidered cloth and gave you sandals of badger skin. I clothed you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments, put bracelets on your wrist and a chain on your neck. I put a jewel in your nose, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your clothing was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate pastry of fine flour, honey, and oil. You were exceedingly beautiful and succeeded to royalty. Your fame went out among the nations because of your beauty, for it was perfect through my splendor, which I had bestowed on you, says the Lord God. A bride adorneth herself with her jewels, Isaiah said in Isaiah 61 and verse 10. Thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all as an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. Isaiah 49, verse 18. Can a maid forget her adornments, her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Jeremiah 2, verse 32. The worthy woman of Proverbs 31 made herself coverings of tapestry and cloths of silk. There's the principle. Wives, take pride in your physical attractiveness. But let me caution you, this is never to be done to the derivement or the detriment of inner beauty. In 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 4, the Bible says, do not let your ornament be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorrupt beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. In Proverbs 31 and verse 10, the Bible says, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So while you're taking care of the way you look on the outside, be more concerned with the way God sees you on the inside. A seventh step in instructing the woman to be a wife is to maintain your femininity. God made man and women different, Genesis 1 and verse 27. It's Satan that wants a unisex society. I read a survey one time. 1,000 high school boys were surveyed in Chicago. One of the questions was, what do you like in your dates? The number one answer was femininity. Ladies, avoid being loudmouthed. Don't be found with boisterous manners. Shy away from male looking types of haircuts. Be proud of your feminine nature. It's a gift from God. Well, an eighth instruction, be attentive to the little things. Zechariah 4 and verse 10 reads, for who hath despised the day of small things? Things like slipping your arm into his. Things like a pat on the hand or an extra hug. Things like waiting at the door to greet him when he gets home from work. Things like a note in his suitcase when he has to travel. Things like asking him once in a while, what would you like for me to wear? Now be careful with that one. Things like a goodbye kiss, or a hello kiss, or another one. Things like being happy when he calls you sound like it's a thrill that he chose to call you. The sweet nothings that are private and special in each one of our relationships are so important. A card to his office just telling him how much you love him. Well, a lot of things more could be said about this, but we get the point, don't we? There are definite responsibilities in the marriage relationship. That's why God gives those responsibilities to man and women instead of boys and girls. Lord willing, in our next lesson, we'll learn what the Bible teaches concerning the responsibilities of the husbands and the wives as a team. The Monte Vista Church of Christ offers CDs of this lesson or any of our previous lessons free of charge to anyone that desires them. You can request these CDs by accessing our website. That's found at www.montevistacoc.com. That's www.montevistacoc.com. Simply click on Request a CD and provide us with a name, mailing address, and the subject that you want sent. You can also listen to this show anytime by clicking to listen on the same website given to you earlier, www.montevistacoc.com. Wouldn't it be something if we could have more husbands that were like Jacob, that really loved their wives? In Genesis 29 and verse 20, the Bible reads, "So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed but a few days to him because of the love that he had for her." Wouldn't it be something if we had more husbands like Elkanah who go to worship with their wives? 1 Samuel 1, verse 19, "Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house." I suppose you know that there are many men who think going to church is for the ladies and the children and not for them. Oh, how untrue that is. A man and a woman who worship together as a husband and wife just have the possibilities of happiness in Christ beyond that which anyone else can have in their lives. Wouldn't it be something if we had more husbands like Manoah, who would take the time to pray for and with his wife? You can read that touching prayer in Judges, the 13th chapter, verse 8 through 14. Wouldn't it be something if we'd have more husbands like Zechariah, who lived righteously with their wives? In Luke 1, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, "And they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all of the commandments and the requirements of the Lord." We need more husbands like Joseph, husbands that will not embarrass their wives. Matthew 1 and verse 19, the Bible says, "And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly." We need husbands like Aquila, husbands that will work for Christ with their wife. Acts 18, verse 24 through 28. Shows that. We need wives like Sarah, wives who will respect their husbands, like in 1 Peter 3, verse 1 through 7, Sarah did. We need wives like Elizabeth, who will be righteous with their husband, Luke 1, verse 5 and 6. We need wives like Manoah's wife, who will maintain sacred tenderness and togetherness with their husband, Judges 13 and 14. We need wives like Rachel, who will encourage their husbands. Genesis 31 and verse 16. "Whatever God has said to you, do it." What a thing to say to your husband. Rachel said, "Whatever God has said to you, Jacob, you do it." We need wives like Priscilla, who will be helpers and soul winners with their husbands. Acts 18 and verse 18. "And Paul, having remained many days longer, took leave of the brethren to put out to sea for Syria, and with him were Aquila and Priscilla." Finally, We need wives like Peter's wife, who will assist in the qualification of their husbands for leadership roles in the church as an elder. Mark 1 and verse 30, we see that Peter has a mother-in-law, so we know that he was married. In 1 Peter 5, verse 1 through 4, we see Peter was an elder of the church. And in 1 Timothy 3, verse 4 and verse 11, we see that the qualifications of an elder includes having a wife. In fact, in verse 11, women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. That's wise of an elder. Well, our time is up. Appreciate you listening today. You can listen to the show, as we have said, at any time by going to our website and clicking to listen. As we close, let us join together in committing ourselves to a closer walk with the Lord. I pray that this week you and I have unusual opportunity to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.